This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As the Eagles here, there's some more news on the Kellen Moore front. They losing someone else. Is Kellen Moore raiding the whole staff here? What is going on? Kellen Moore is down now with the New Orleans Saints as their head coach. I think it's a big deal. Hugh and Kyle are telling me it's not a big deal. I saw a tweet here from Elliot a little while ago. According to Elliot, who is quoting Nick Underhill, who covers the New Orleans Saints, the Saints are hiring TJ Pagnetti from the Eagles, according to a source. Pagnetti served as a run game specialist and assistant offensive line coach for the Eagles last season. So the Kellen Moore raid on Sirianni's staff here is underway. Is this whole thing a big deal? I say yes. Hugh says no. And the Phillies, a new lineup. We're going to check in with Devin down in Clearwater in a few minutes. She is down there covering the Phils for a few days, fresh off of the Super Bowl parade on Friday. Let's go to
busy
Dennis.
Lady.
She is. I mean, you got to think, like, it was had to be planned beforehand. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that's a super quick turnaround.
Super Bowl parade down to Clearwater. Though I don't think she's probably complaining. He was
no,
like
not at all.
Five degrees, the real feel out here.
She's probably somewhere really warm and hanging out and drinking. Well, she's working, but, you know, having a little margarita or something.
Yeah, meanwhile, we're here in the cold, and you didn't have a coat today.
I wasn't that cold. It was a little brick, though. I will admit that it was a little brick this morning.
It feels like a coat day, Hugh. It feels like a pretty obvious coat day.
I mean, if 19 degrees out in the morning is
you know what's
day,
funny? I walked out the door, I would agree with you, but I wasn't going back in to get a coat. I wasn't about to do that. The mission had already started at that point.
So this is less about the coat and just Hugh being stalled.
Of course. Yeah, isn't that everything we do around here? Let's talk to Dennis in Norristown. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Dennis, what's up?
Well, I was on the phone, had everything ready, and you're having such a great show, influenced my thinking. So I want to talk about the importance of the O coordinator, but before that, I just wanted to say that Jalen Hurts, as a player, I've always loved him, but his inner thinking is so strong, the way he deals with diversity. I think he's fantastic. But anyway, I got to the parade. My 72-year-old self got down there at my daughter's house, 50 yards from Broad and Pollock, my old neighborhood. It was nice. But I don't know if I'd use the word big deal. I'd say it's very important that we get a seasoned offensive mind to help the continued growth of Jalen.
So you don't want a first timer. You want someone who's done this.
I do not.
Okay.
We've seen too much shit. Excuse me. I think Frank Reich is a good choice. I don't know how the organization feels, but I love Doug. But a name that has not come up that I really like is another homie. I'm a homie. Is Deuce Daly.
Deuce.
And that's the kind of stuff where my brain's at, and just chew on that, guys, and tell me what
chew
you think.
That.
Dennis, I like that. You know, I think all our callers should end it. Chew on that, and then they're out.
I don't mind Deuce Staley being the offensive coordinator. I would just say, because he's a friend of mine, and I don't know why I'm asking this question, because I know the answer to it. Would he want to be the offensive coordinator? Hell yes.
Well, so he's right now the running back coach for the Browns?
Yes.
Eagles offensive coordinator feels like a bigger springboard to something great for him, right?
Yeah, because he – but I tell you what, the fact that he interviewed for a head coaching job at one point, I mean, I think he's probably about due. And I you know, it's funny. You made me want to – I want to text him and ask him, to be totally honest. But, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that being the case.
So, I mean, there also is a lot of history here, right? Not just his playing days. Hugh, he was on the staff.
He
was interviewed – I believe, if my memory serves right, he was interviewed the cycle that Sirianni got the job.
Yeah, the head coaching job. Yeah, I remember that.
Right, and I'm thinking back to the kind of how the pattern went. Hugh, there were a lot of players then, and I can't, their names, like, I can't connect the dots right now quickly in my head. Some players wanted him to be the guy.
Yes, they did.
And they obviously, the Eagles went
tremendous
with
tremendous amount of respect for Deuce, man.
Yep. And look, the Sirianni was obviously a good choice, right? They look what they've done with Nick Sirianni. But do you think that'd be awkward?
Like for to him, have Deuce?
Well, no, for him, that he didn't get it and then circle back to come back? Or do you think it's been enough time and everyone
just
moves on?
I think the one thing in this business I would think is that you don't want to burn any bridges, because you never know
right
when you're going to have to cross it again. So I don't think Deuce is in a situation or feel some type of way. I mean, it's business. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to look at it like this.
He was also the assistant head coach, by the way, when he was here.
Yeah, you got to look at it like business. And I think that Deuce is a big enough individual. He can look at it like that. I mean, it wasn't obviously, you know, I mean, we know why he was interviewed, you know, with the Rooney Rule and stuff going on and all this other stuff. But coming back and being able to be the offensive coordinator, get your name out there, you might be in line for a head coach job sooner than later.
Well, this job has become a springboard, right? Shane Steichen and now Kellen Moore. So, yeah, certainly. I also think the Eagles are going to have to look outside the box. If they're not fully sold on Petullo or what they have in-house, there's not many options out there. They're behind the curve. Everyone else has picked someone. It's almost March here. I mean, you're going to have to find a running back coach or an assistant here. You're not going to be able to just pick your pick of the litter unless you want to go with someone seasoned like Frank Reich, who I don't think has a job right now. I mean, I don't think
yeah,
Frank
probably
is
at the crib chilling.
Yeah, right. So that could work too. All right, 215-592-9494. Last time we talked to Devin was Friday. And she was somewhere
busy
in the crowd
person,
with
man.
Elliot at the parade. Now we talk to her, and she is in a much warmer setting, I'm guessing. She is down in Clearwater, Florida with the Phillies. Devin, how we doing?
I'm good, guys. I mean, I don't know if it's much warmer. It's a chilly 75 degrees here.
I'll take that all day. That wasn't
yeah.
Right. You didn't have to do that.
I'm sorry, Hugh. I had
you didn't
to.
Have
I
to
had
do
to.
That. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, meanwhile, everyone outside right now, it's like the wind chill's like 10. So, yeah, a chilly 74. But no, that's awesome you're down there, Devin. And we're excited to talk to you, because it's like we all woke up today like, oh, yeah, spring training has started. We're so kind of behind because the Eagles run took us so far. So give us the vibe down there, Devin. You know, down there yesterday, today, I know Topper talked and the Phillies are working out. Mm-hmm. What's the Phillies vibe as they start a spring training with a lot of expectations, you know, to try to move further than they have the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I agree. It's crazy just the quick turnaround with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. I know a lot of people aren't even in the Phillies mindset, but I can say that the Phillies themselves are certainly in a, you know, focused mindset. They just seem really locked in. And I'm actually fresh out of a Rob Thompson press availability. And I asked him, you know, what is the mindset? What's the vibe? Because sometimes it can be hard to tell, even though we're in the clubhouse, you know, we're watching these guys take batting practice, go through their drills. It's hard to really get a good grip on, you know, what exactly they're saying to each other, what the team motivation is. And he said, they're basically, this is going to sound kind of messed up, he said, they're kind of like dogs. Like, you have to reel them in. They're just ready to run. They're ready to go. And it's my job as a manager to make sure they stay a little bit leashed so they don't get off to too hot of a start this season. So the mindset is really, you know, take it day by day. Make sure you're staying healthy, which as of yesterday, Bryce Harper and Aaron Nola were not doing. They were both out yesterday with food poisoning or the flu, whatever it may have been. But Bryce Harper was back today. Aaron Nola is expected to be back later this afternoon.
So off of what you just said and what Topper was talking about, reading between the lines for me, it's almost like they think maybe they pushed too far too quickly early last year and they ran out of gas because they were so great the first couple months, especially a guy like Ranger Suarez, Devin. He was, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball the first half, and then it felt like, you know, the last 2-3 months he had nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I took away from what he said too, Joe, was because he even mentioned early spring. He's like, we saw it happen, you know, in seasons past, early spring. These guys just are ready to gun it from the start. And you have to remember that it's a long season and you can't burn out. So I think it's a good sign that the mentality, even just through spring training, is take it day by day, check in every day, you know, being more mindful about it rather than pedal to the metal, you know, 0 to 100 miles per hour immediately. I think they're easing into it. And I think that that's a good change of pace compared to last season.
So, Devin, I saw that you posted a video of Andrew Painter throwing a bullpen session. This conversation feels like it shifts to that because they're going to slow play Painter's arrival. And I'm not sure how they're going to do it yet in terms of, is he going to start later, like not starting games until May or June and then arrive? Or are they going to only pitch him a couple innings at a time? I'm not sure what their plan is, but it feels like he's that button they could push at some point during this year when they're ready and he's ready to kind of go to the next gear.
Yeah, for sure. And he also looks really good. I mean, he's 6'7", so he's a gigantic dude, but he also seems like he's filled out. Obviously, he's still young, so he's still, you know, coming into his own. But he's definitely been putting the work, and I know he played fall ball as well and pitched really well there. He looked good today. I actually just talked to him in the clubhouse, and he kind of agreed, but he obviously can't confirm on the July date that Dave Dombrowski kind of threw out there at the end of the postseason, where he said they hope to have Andrew Painter. Dombrowski said in a bullpen position, but who knows? I think it depends on the health of the pitching staff on the Phillies at that time. But I do think it's like a midsummer date is when they're aiming for. But anything could happen, guys. I mean, he seemed really confident. I also, you'll appreciate this, asked him for confirmation if he went by Andy or Andrew. And he said he goes by both. But he said for media only have to call him Andrew. So I was wrong. I will take the L.
Okay. Well, this is really important. This actually might be the most important thing to come out of spring training so far. So that means we have to call him Andrew, but like the guys call him Andy? Is that the way to read that? Like he's Andy among the people he's with, but like I have to say Andrew Painter is going to join the Phillies in like June or July. That's the way we got to do this?
That's the message I was picking up, Joe, yeah. Because I told him, I was like, look, I called you Andy. I didn't think anything about it. I got roasted for it. Dombrowski called you Andy, and he said, yeah, I guess media should call me Andrew, but everyone else calls me Andy. So I think you have to reach maybe a certain status of friendship with Andrew Painter before you can call him Andy.
Hugh, were you out on the Andy-Andrew thing?
Andrew, I'm not calling no grown ass man Andy.
But what if we're close to him? What if we get him on the show when we get down there?
He's Andy in Deptford.
He's Angie.
We have plenty of Andy. We have Andy in Westchester, Andy in Deptford. We call people Andy all the time, Hugh.
All right, then fine.
Well, I'm just asking what you I'm just wanting to know where you're at.
I just think of Toy Story when I think of Andy. I'm sorry.
I think of Toy Story too, Hugh.
No, I think of Toy Story when I think Andy. Andrew.
All right, well, here's the real question.
With the Andy on his boot.
Yeah.
What's more likely, that he becomes like a Hall of Fame type of pitcher, an all-star, as Andy or Andrew? Andrew feels more official.
Yeah, it does.
Andy just rolls off the tongue, though.
It does.
It just sounds like a cooler name, honestly. Like, Andrew, so formal.
It is formal.
Each their own.
Yeah, all right, so here's what we have to do. He needs to figure this out soon so we can get him to the big leagues and have him dominate as whatever he wants to be, Andy or Andrew. Devin, let's end with this. There was a lot of talk I saw yesterday over the weekend, and it feels like the Phillies are kind of soft launching this, so we're used to it. It certainly sounds, Devin, like they're about to change the top of this lineup, the Schwarber leadoff thing, and not really because of him, just because they think it might make everyone else better. They might drop him down more like 3 or 4, maybe Turner 1, Harper 2. What have you heard about that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, Topper's being pretty wishy-washy on it, of course, but he said if he were to do it, it would be Turner to lead off, Harper at 2, and then, like you said, Schwarber or Bohm. Just those two, I think, would flip-flop depending on who they're facing in the 3 and 4 spots. Harper made it very clear that he has no interest in leading off, and I don't think that's a good idea anyways, but he was like, look, I'll do whatever the skipper says, but I'm not a leadoff guy. That's not where I feel comfortable. So there are talks of it. You know, I know the debate always comes up. I'm actually all for it. Trey Turner, also, I should note, is still not here. He's dealing with a personal matter. I believe he's supposed to arrive today and practice tomorrow if he clears all of his physicals and everything. So we haven't seen him yet. So haven't gotten him to weigh in on how he feels about potentially leading off. But I will let you guys know once I do.
All right, that sounds good. Devin, we appreciate it. Enjoy the 74-degree weather as we trek around up here in like 15-degree weather.
Yeah,
Devin,
it was kind of cold.
Yeah, it was cold. Enjoy
Stay
Clearwater.
Warm, guys.
All right, there she
Stay
goes.
Warm.
Devin
right.
Caney down in Clearwater with the latest on the Phillies. Yeah, I like how Topper's like not committing to anything. He's just addressing it every time he speaks. Like, yeah, well, you know, we might change the lineup. They're obviously going to change the lineup at some point earlier.
He's still workshopping that thing.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't want to commit yet to all of it. But we shall see. 215-592-9494. All right, which name is more likely to be a great pitcher? Andy Painter, Andrew?
I like Andrew myself. It just sounds more grown up.
It is more grown up. Whatever.
He looks like a kid, though.
Yeah, he does.
So that leans more to Andy.
It does.
No one suggested Drew.
Story.
Drew Painter's out.
Yeah.
Drew Painter's a bust. We can't
that's
have
different,
that.
That's a different. Yeah, that's a whole different animal, right
yep,
there.
Yep, can't do it. All right, let's go to a guy that knows something about being a star. Herb in the Northeast. What's up, Herb?
Eight days of going, and how you feeling there, Hugh Douglas? You're a Super Bowl champion.
You're a champ, Herb.
But technically,
you're a champ.
I'm not a champ.
You're a champ.
You know what
the
I'm
Eagles,
saying,
but
brother.
I'm affiliated.
You're part of it.
No, I'm not a champ.
You're here in Philadelphia now. You ain't in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right.
You're up here
City
with
of
us,
champs.
Brother.
The city of champs.
You're up here with us, didn't brother. You're that. Working up here. You're a Super Bowl champion.
Technically,
okay?
Thank you. Thank
Just
you.
Take the compliment.
Now, I'm gonna go over some, now Joe Julio, I'm going to go over
Joe
some
Julio.
Numbers.
Joe Julio. Okay, mm-hmm. Joe.
And I want you to check them numbers.
Okay,
I'm
writing it down.
Mm-hmm. In 2023, the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. They made $650 million.
Okay.
Their net profit was $158 million.
Okay, 158 net. Yep, go ahead.
That Jeffrey Lurie got. So let me ask you something, okay? Those four players that we got right now shouldn't be a problem signing these guys.
Well, but there's a salary cap. The salary cap, you know, versus the net profits, you know, those different columns.
I understand salary cap and all this and that. But we need to bring at least 3 to 4 of those guys back, whatever.
So you're talking about Sweat and Williams and Becton and Bond.
Becton is my number one, yes. I already heard that actually Becton, his agent or somebody that was connected with his agent, before the Super Bowl, that he was going to get a 4 or 5 year deal. So
inside sources.
They were, you know. So I guess we're going to hear something about that in the next probably 10 or 14 days or whatever. So, but the other guys, I mean, this team's ready to win another Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Jalen Hurts. You're my number two quarterback in the NFL.
Mahomes 1, Hurts 2. Mahomes and Hurts.
I go by W's. I go by what Jalen Hurts has done in the past 3 or 4 years, okay? These other guys, yeah, they put up big stats, but they ain't been to the big game. They ain't even – I mean, some of them haven't even got to the AFC Championship. Come on.
You got to win, Herb. It's about winning.
It's basically the Eagles and the Chiefs the last 3 years. I mean, San Fran got in last year, and you saw they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you see what they did after they lost. Their team is falling back.
They fell apart. And now you got Debo asking for a trade. They're a mess.
Debo wearing other people's jerseys
and
whatnot.
A lot of problems.
Wow.
A lot of problems in San Fran.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, one of the guys had yesterday, last night or whatever, from 1 to 10, okay, San Francisco was the 10th team that they had listed. The
Eagles, like a power rankings?
One.
Power rankings,
Yeah, the Eagles are number one, okay? That's what they had. So, I'm looking for a repeat. That's what I'm looking
for.
Well,
Herb, repeat or bust. Absolutely. Herb, good
Sounds
phone
like
call.
That's about what he's saying.
Did you write down those numbers?
I didn't. Oh, no. You know I didn't write down those. I don't know why you asked a question that you already know the answer to. You know I didn't write those.
$650 million and then $158 net profit. He wanted you to understand the lawyer's got plenty of money to re-sign these four guys.
No, I understand.
We were just ignoring the salary cap constraints. That's a separate column Herb didn't want to talk about there. But, I mean, Herb brought a lot there to the table.
He always does.
He gave us his early updated Herb's quarterback rankings, which I thought we were going to wait till like June for that. But we got him today on February 18th. Herb's updated QB rankings. Number one, Mahomes. Two, Jalen Hurts. Boom, Hugh. One, Mahomes. Two, Hurts.
I mean, but that's how it should be. That's how it was when Brock Purdy went and got beat.
Well, that was your rankings.
Yeah. But Jalen's, it was my rankings. But I think Jalen has grown. I think he's grown as a quarterback. I think that we are going to get a much better version this year than the Jalen we had last year. And I know people are like, oh, my gosh, it means we're going to another Super Bowl. But no, he's going to be a better quarterback, man. I think he is.
I think he can be, but the loss of the coordinator could impact that a little bit. Mm. We're just, you know, there's no big deal.
It's that big of a deal.
Well, didn't we think that when Steichen left? No big deal?
We did. I think this is different. Because we had a tumultuous time, and I just think we've grown a lot from that.
All right, let me ask you this, because we had someone earlier say something that it really wasn't Moore, it was Jalen, right? So when they struggled with Brian Johnson, did he stink, or was that Jalen too? Like, is this all just Jalen?
See, I think, good question.
And when he's good, he's good, and when he's not, he's not, and the coordinator's just there.
I think it was a lot. I think that there is some growth that went along with Jalen. I think he was a little stubborn when things went the way that they did. I even think this year that there was a little bit of stubbornness in him. Because when you look at some, he was flawless Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
He was flawless. And we knowing what I know about Spags, he identified everything that Spags was doing. Now, I know that, you know, I think back and who was the Tampa Bay coach that had his number.
Bro, Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles had his number. Jalen didn't look like the quarterback to me that we saw at the beginning of the season.
What way better?
So,
way more control.
So, I think part of that is Kellen Moore? Maybe. I think that's just the growth of Jalen and knowing how important these and precious these moments are. That's not me saying that any other time he didn't. But I think that there was a hard moment when you heard, like, they were talking about how they had to have a come to Jesus moment. And there was a moment of clarity where you just looked at it and said, hey, man, this is what's needed in order to have success. And he embraced it. They all embraced it. So I think he grew from that.
Well, and he grew even as the postseason went on. I mean, look at his first two games, you know, just the way they played, the way they moved the football, the way they threw it. And it wasn't great, right? The Packer game and Ram game were not great. And he was as good as we've ever seen him in the championship game and then in the Super Bowl. I mean, that you back-to-back games to play at that level on that stage, it was incredible. 215-592-9494. Is losing Kellen Moore a big deal? I think it is. I mean, I think Jalen could continue to build on what he's become. But the Moore loss feels like a big one to me. And he's taking people with him. Like, he could take three or four Eagles coaches. That's a lot for Sirianni to replace in one offseason. Big deal, not a big deal. And the Phillies sound like they're making lineup changes. Schwarber at the leadoff spot. Sounds like Turner in. Your first take on that, are you in? Plus, there is a deadline in the NFL for the Eagles to do something. We'll discuss what it is, and if we could see the Eagles actually do something they haven't done in years, it involves guys like Bond and Becton and Williams and Sweat. We'll talk about that coming up. 215-592-9494. It is a Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There was something, everything about you.
We're going to be singing this a lot next few weeks.
Baby, come back. Who leaving?
Well, I mean, NFL free agency is about to begin. You?
Me. Yeah, that's right. Some folks leaving.
Mm. Well, they don't have to.
I mean, they don't, but that money calling, like, you know, you win the Super Bowl, man. People want to get paid.
Well, that they do. But here is a lever the Eagles could pull to make sure they keep at least one of these guys. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. So today at 4 p.m. starts the window to tag players, the franchise tag.
Yeah.
Now, Hugh, the Eagles haven't used this in a long time. 2012, DeSean Jackson was the last time they used a franchise tag, which means in Howie Roseman's tenure as GM, I think they've only done it 2 times in total, and the last time was in 2012. So it's obviously not something Howie does or prefers to do, but we'll see what they do now. They have 4 big free agents here. They have Zach Bond, they have Milton Williams, they have Josh Sweat, they have Mekhi Becton. Now, we found something out this morning about this franchise tag stuff that is a real kick to the you know where
in terms of the mommy daddy button.
In terms of the Bond idea, right? Because some people are like, hey, why not just tag Zach Bond? Linebackers aren't that expensive. Keep him for 1 year.
Oh.
So we found out this morning, Zach Berm tweeted this, that the NFL, when they calculate the franchise tag, they count all linebackers the same. So like the edge rushing linebacker, think Micah Parsons.
With the 3-4, it's like with so many teams designating linebackers as rushers now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, right? The edge rushers that rush off the edge.
So he's making D lineman money.
Yes. So they're all linebackers according to the formula. So if the Eagles wanted to tag Zach Bond, for example, that would be $27 million. So I don't think they're going to tag any of these guys. They don't.
They're rich for their blood.
They don't do it, and they'd all be really expensive. I was just going through the numbers, the tag numbers for all the positions. Mm-hmm. They'd all be over $20 million, whether it be Sweat, Bond, Becton, Williams, it would all be well over $20 million. My guess, Hugh, is they're not going to tag any of these guys, which means we're going to have to play the let's hope they keep them when free agency starts in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And you're banking on the fact that maybe Zach wants to stay here because of the success that he's had as an Eagle. You know, maybe that could be something that, you know, works in your favor, but you never know.
Well, I mean, you've lived this before. I mean, that.
Well, it's a different time, and I didn't win a Super Bowl. And, you know, like, he's going to get a nice piece of cheese. Like, there's no question about that. He's going to get a nice little chunk of change. It just depends on how much he wants to stay here.
So, before we hear from these guys, we can hear from Bond and Milton Williams in a minute here. Do you think winning makes them want to stay more, or the other side of the coin is like, I won, now I got to get paid?
I think Zach's in a unique spot where he probably want to stay. I mean, man, you went from a special teams player to being an integral part of the success of a Super Bowl franchise. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at, in my opinion, Joe, to be totally honest. I would think that you would want to stay in a situation like that, because it's not to find a home the way that he did. And I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know Zach Bond from a can of paint. But I'm guessing, you know, his family likes it here. The adulation that he gets here. You go to another – say, for instance, you go back to the Saints. You're the man at the Saints.
Mm.
And you're going to be looked at to do certain things, not saying that you can't do it, but you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself when you don't have a Jalen Carter – a Nolan Smith, the exciting whites in the back. You know what I mean? You're playing with a bunch of guys and everybody looking at you like you're the Super Bowl champion. You know, you're supposed to come in here and help make this thing better. That's a whole lot, man. That's a whole lot.
So here's the other thing with Zach Bond. I mean, he already won a Super Bowl. He made an all-pro team. You know, we joked in the summer when we had him on, is he going to become the new 53 in Philadelphia? He comes back, Hugh. He spends a few more years here, gets another All-Pro.
No, yeah.
Second 53 in town.
Oh, no, and that's fine. That's fine. If he brings another Super Bowl championship, I'm happy for him. That's a lot to weigh, and I'm pretty sure your wife is going to help you make those decisions, which she should, because that's a lot. You went from obscurity to being loved in a city like in one season. Mm. Like, say, your story is just as significant as Saquon's. It's just that everybody talking about Saquon's because he's a running back.
Well, yeah, of course, and he set records and all
yeah,
that. But
yeah,
in,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in terms of like a turnaround, a change, yeah, it was remarkable what he's able to do. Let's hear from Zach Bond talking about what free agency might look like here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't know what it's going to look like, honestly. My goal every time is to play the best football I can. And hopefully it's here. I love this place, and I really appreciate what they've done for my career and my family and just everything. So got a lot of options to weigh and a lot of different stuff to think about.
See, here's what I can't figure out with Zach Bond, Hugh, and we're going to find this out. I believe what did we find out this year? March 12th is the start of free agency? Mm-hmm. So We're less than 3 full weeks away from this thing ratcheting up and these players able to stay or go, whatever they do. Do you think he's going to get paid as if this is who he is moving forward because he just did it? Like, is he top of the NFL? Because he just was first team all pro. Usually that means you get top of the, or because he's only done it once, does he get a little bit less than that?
I tell you, it all depends on who his agent is. If his agent's good, my conversation would be, I don't give a damn what it was that he was this year. This was untapped potential that they tapped into. If you want my client, and if my client wants to get paid like he's one of the elite linebackers, I don't give a damn if he only did it for 1 year, he did it. So that would be my selling point. You know, because there are probably going to be some guys, well, you only did one. Okay, well, that's fine. We'll go somewhere else. I mean, they're negotiating. They have all the chips right now. And again, it's all on what Zach wants to do. Does he want to stay here and eat, you know, good for the rest of his life? He's going to do that anyway because he's a Super Bowl champion. Or does he want to go somewhere else and maximize his dollars, maximize his income, you know, in a short period of time? What is he like, 26?
I think Bond is probably 27 now.
Maybe you want to do that. And the guaranteed money. See,
28,
the thing is
he's
this.
28.
The guaranteed money that he's going to want is probably going to be a lot. You know what I mean? Maybe $10 million. Something like that, 12, 15, who knows?
Well, let me throw at you the list of the highest paid inside linebackers. You tell me if you think he's going to touch this kind of money. Number one is Roquan Smith. The Ravens gave him 5 years, $100 million,
mm-hmm.
20 a year. Number two is Fred Warner. 5 years, $95.2 million, 19 a year. Number three, Tremaine Edwards, 4 years, $72 million. So the top three inside linebackers are 20, 19, 18. Is he coming close to that?
I want to be in the cul-de-sac. And what I mean by that is I might not be that top pay guy, but if I leave the Eagles, that's the type of money I want to see. Yeah. Because if he stays here, he's probably going to be worth, you know, he's going to be in the range of getting that kind of bread, in my opinion.
Listen, guys, I want Zach Baum back. I find it very hard to believe that the Eagles are going to pay $18 to $20 million a year for a linebacker.
I mean, that's the market, though.
Never done this.
I understand what you're saying, but that's what he commands. If that's the position he plays and that's what he commands, that's what he commands.
Well, sure, he'll get that. Will the Eagles do it? I mean.
And I feel like for everything that the Eagles have been this year, talking about family and, you know, being a close-knit group, what type of message does that send when you tell a guy, basically, we made you? And, you know, if you don't take this money, then, you know, we're going to move on. I think the offer will be reasonable. I think it'll be reasonable. It's on Zach that if he wants to test the waters and go somewhere else.
Well, the other part of this is, do they think they made him? I mean, I think he was excellent. But what if they see the next Zach Bond on another team right now and Vic Fangio says, we could do that?
And that's the chance you take. But I would say, this is me playing in Jim Johnson's defense the first year and, you know, getting hurt and then coming back the next year. I would say to have somebody that has understood the concepts of your defense as quickly as he has and the rest of these guys, I mean, that's an easier time to have, you know, as far as, you know, getting familiar with the defense, but if I got to do it again, then so be it.
I would pay him if it was me. I'm when I see the list of the highest paid linebackers, it'd be surprising to me to see the Eagles give out one of those contracts. The third guy on the list is 472. I mean, if I'm Zach Bond's agent, I'm like, why am I below him? I'm just first team.
No, he's on a Super Bowl team.
Of course.
What I'm saying. It for Zach, it's about okay, what type of money? What means more to you at the end of the day? Because I can make an argument that, you know, being here in Philadelphia, you probably make more money doing an autograph signing.
Sure, but this is his first chance and his only chance probably to get paid, right? He wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah, but it's okay, how are you getting paid? Like, I could say being in the Philadelphia area, winning a Super Bowl, you could supplement your income in other ways.
There's different ways.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Like, you got to look at it. And to be honest, I never looked at it like that when I was his age. I was like, yeah, I want the money. Give me the money. But now there are so many different avenues here in Philadelphia where you can eat good. Hell, they were selling the hell out of garage beer at the spot we were at. I mean, seriously.
Oh, they were.
They were selling the hell out of it. So you have to think about it. If you're Zach, you have to think about it like that, because Philly's such a unique place that – You know, you win a Super Bowl. Like, BG is not going to have to do a whole lot. Like, yeah, you could make all the money that you don't get from the Eagles. You could probably, you know, get that somewhere else. That's the point that I'm making.
They also have to seriously factor in the fact that, one, N'Kobe Dean might not even be ready
absolutely
to start the season next year. And
probably
two, the fact that he gets injured often. Zach Bond was the guy that took over the green dot when N'Kobe Dean went down. Like, he's a huge role on this defense. Yeah. Oren Burks is a free agent, too. He might be out. You know, I mean, he might have earned himself a little bit more.
A little bit more cheap.
Yeah, a little more cash there. By the way, he played at the end of the year. And then you don't know what Jeremiah Trotter is going to have for you. He's just a fifth-round pick. And as much as I'd love for him to step up and deliver in that role, I don't know if I can count on that right now. Like, I feel like Bond has a lot more leverage here than we might be led to
credit for. Yeah.
I think you're right on that. We'll see how they play it. But Bond is a huge one. I think he's the one that most people are going to want to keep. We'll see if the Eagles do. Let's hear from Milton Williams, who may have been the one to make himself the most money over the past couple weeks. I mean, you look at him now and all these lists that are coming out of the top 25 or 50 free agents, he's pretty high in that list.
He's about to get paid.
Yeah, he's young and he's a pass-rushing interior defensive lineman. Here's Milton Williams talking about his future here in Philadelphia.
Just a good situation. You know, obviously still wanting to win. You know, I'd definitely love to be back in Philly. What we got building right now, that's really it. Just being in a winning organization, somebody that value what I bring to the table. You know, all going in one direction, trying to ultimately win. And coming off this win, this feeling real good. So I want to get this feeling again.
So that's great. But he also said last week on Locker Cleanout that he obviously wants a raise, and he was wearing a Clutch Sports hoodie.
Yeah.
When anyone's wearing their agency's hoodie, I don't imagine they're in the discount market.
No, they're not. He's trying to get paid. He's trying to get that money grab, which is like, I'm not mad at anybody who does that, but sometimes you just have to look at it and be like, hey, maybe other things mean more to you than just the money grab.
So I think a lot of people are assuming he's the one that they're least likely to keep because he's going to be really expensive.
Yeah.
He's really young. But what strikes me about all these guys, if they weren't Eagles, they were just on the free agent market, I think the one the Eagles would be most likely to sign is Milton Williams. He's a 25-year-old pass-rushing defensive lineman. They love those guys.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, when you look at the draft and where the Eagles will potentially be drafting and some of the moves for how we potentially make, there's a lot of guys out there like that.
They could draft his replacement is what you're saying.
Basically. Apparently this draft is loaded, like, first few rounds with tons of talent along the defensive line, specifically at D-tackle.
Yep, so we'll see. I mean, go ahead.
Sorry, the other thing that I saw here that's definitely interesting to note, especially with the way that Howie likes to work with these contracts here. I think there's a new broadcast rights negotiation in 2028, 2029, and the salary cap already goes up every year. That could be like a huge jump in the salary cap in those few years. Maybe you do some like backloaded deals and you bank on that a little bit. That feels like something that Howie might try to do.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Kick the can a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing that for years, and it never seems to bite them. I mean, just keep... Because time is never ending in the NFL salary cap. Like you don't really ever have to see the end of it. You just keep pushing it down, and the cap will go up. 215.